Well, it was good to be here. Kind of surprising, but a scout's always supposed to be prepared one way or another. I would like to read Psalm 143. Psalm 143. These are very special verses to me, and as I bring that before you, you'll see why. So if you're able, would you please stand in honor of reading God's word? Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fainteth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, for mine enemies, I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for Maranatha, and all the years that we've been together. And Lord, we thank you for this time of coming apart to seek your face, to hear your word, to enjoy you, to have fellowship one with another. We thank you that the emphasis has always been the word of God, building up the saints, strengthening the saints. We do ask that you would come by, you would refresh us this day in a way that no physical refreshment can help, but spiritually, we would ask you to receive all the glory, honor, and praise and minister the word of God. And Kenny, as he bringing the word and working with the young people, Abby working with the little ones, again, I thank you for the brethren. Please bless, Lord. Be glorified, be honored, be praised. And we thank you, and we ask all these things, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. In these verses, Psalm 143, I titled it, How God Revives His People. How God Revives His People. And really, this is, even before I knew Pastor or Dr. Lucilius and the whole word of revival, revival has always been, since God saved me way back in California, revival has been an integral part of my life. So Psalm 143, how God Revives His People. These are special verses that God put upon my heart back in July of last year. Now, if I would have known, which I'm thankful I didn't know, leaving this place last year, what was to be ahead of us, I probably would have stayed here. But see, these verses, and I want you to realize that the Word of God is so precious, so special. When you don't have anything, when God takes away everything, and he brings you to the point where all you have is the Word of God, you're in a good place. Yes. And that's what the Lord did for me with Psalm 143. And this is normal for, really, the Lord. Up in Canada, in Calvary Baptist, there's been years in ministering there. There would be times when the Lord would give me verses, and I would camp there. I would read them every day. Well, Psalm 143, I read, and I'm still reading, for almost a whole year. I can't say I've memorized it, but this is what the Lord does. Now, the subject is revival. And again, it's been always on my heart, by God's grace. You say, well, yeah, we pray a lot, we talk about a lot of revival, but have you ever had a personal revival? refreshment from on high. See, that's the groundwork. You see, you say, well, will we ever see a revival breakthrough here? Hopefully, in the sense of God coming down. But see, that will spread like wildfire to the other churches that are ministering, that are here. And we see that would grow. And by God's grace, we might see in a great awakening. You say, well, you actually believe that? Yes, I believe that. I teach that. There's no other way. There's no other hope. But it begins with personal revival. Personal revival. Now, the Lord has, in a sense, I could say, the Lord has revived me personally. Once, when I was first saved, I was in charismatic Pentecostal stuff, and God brought me out of that and brought me into the doctrines of grace, and I believe that was a personal revival of doctrine. 12 years later, I thought I had committed the unpardonable sin. I was reprobate. I was into Sheltonism, some all Puritan preparationism, all kind of darkness. God brought me out of that. He showed me that though I could not weep and cry or rejoice like others, I was still a Christian. I served. And I believe the Lord revived me last year, working in a warehouse, $12 an hour. When we'll talk about that a little bit, but personal revival is for all of us. Refreshment. Now, what is revival? Well, it's restoring of life, vigor, strength, health. Revival is for God's people. And the one example I give often is there in Judges, when I think Samson had a great victory. Judges 15, 18 through 19, he had a great victory, and he's almost dead, right? And he says, Lord, you've given me this great victory now. And so the water came out of the rock there, or the jawbone, whatever it may be. And this is what it says here. But God caved a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. That's revival. So that's for all of us. See, when we go back to our local churches, when we go back to our ministries, when we go back to our homes and families, you see, hopefully, and I believe over the many years that I've been coming here, I have been revived. I have been refreshed. I have gone home with a new vision, a new heart. Maybe just lasting long enough for the next year to come back, be refreshed, revived. So that's the definition of revival. Now, let's look at here in these verses the need for revival. The need of revival. Note here in these verses, Psalm 143, the psalmist, and I think this is David, notice his situation here. In verse 3, he says, there's physical affliction, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. You see physical affliction. You see in verse 4, notice it says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed. Verse 4 also says, my heart is desolate. Verse 7, my spirit faileth. Now, if I would probably say, by a show of hands, how many of you have been there? Maybe you're there this morning. How did you get out of it? He didn't leave you there, did he? And I propose this morning to you that God brought the Word of God. He got the Scriptures to you. Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason why I'm here this morning. And Kathy will testify that. It was the Scriptures, these verses that came to me. And God does that. I just camped there. I had nothing else left. And you'll see, and I'll explain some of those things. But notice the psalmist there. He's desolate, he's overwhelmed, his heart is desolate, my spirit faileth. You see, the Lord gives us verses like Isaiah 41, when the poor and needy seeketh water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And he will pour out rivers in the wilderness. And the wilderness sometimes is just our heart. You know, the battle. It's not always because of sin, for sure. Warfare, the world, the flesh, providence. How do I deal with this, Lord? And like I said, if I would have known, after 2 weeks here last in the camp meeting down in Georgia and coming up here for meetings, and then, you know, it was time to go over the mountain and go over to Harrisburg, and we got there, it was just, it, it, brother, it destroyed my manhood. What do you mean? I could not provide for my family. I'm an old man, not as old as some. Okay, I understand that. But, you know, there's, you know, when you go for a job, they look and say, Tom, you're 64 and you've been out of the business for 18 years. Who wants to hire a liability like you? See, when you can't provide for your family, you can't even get a house. You can't even get a loan. You're working for $12 an hour. It destroyed me. It actually destroyed me. Because you know me in a way. You know, I had to do this, Lord. I must do this. This is my job. This I want to do it. But that's how I felt. I was desolate. My soul faileth. I can't do anything. What am I going to do? And then the Lord gave me these verses. He gave me these verses. When the poor and needy seeketh water, and their tongue cleaveth for thirst. See, when the tongue cleaveth for thirst, you can't even speak. You just have to go through the motions. So these verses are precious to me, and let's go on here. See, the worst nightmare of the psalmist here is verses 1 and 2 is that God had forsaken him. Notice what it says there. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication in the faithfulness. Answer me and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. You see, when you think God is against you, you have nobody for you. Now, that, you say, well, that's the lie of the devil. You shouldn't listen to that. That's true. And that may be the lie of your own heart. Okay? But the idea is that the psalmist knows, you know, if it's because of sin, Lord, let me deal with it. Let me get it right. I want you on my side. You see, there were questions in my heart leaving Canada. The will of God, faithfulness, ministry, all those things. You know, like, not only that you can't provide for your family. No, Lord, I'm a preacher. I remember when I went down to Georgia, I said, there's two things I know last year. And I know a little bit more now, Doc, by God's grace. Two things I knew last year. Number one, that I was called to preach. And number two, I was supposed to be in PA. I was supposed to be in Pennsylvania. Other than that, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. But you see here, you see, if God is against me, if God is against the psalmist, and so we examine ourselves, and we should. And we have to be searching our hearts. Verse 3, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. And there are plenty, many enemies, not only within and without. The devil, my own heart, okay. Psalm 42 says this. Let me read a little bit of this. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? You say, well, you're a Christian, you're a pastor, you're a preacher. You should never say that. But there were times last year when I just didn't know. I mean, everything, mortgages and loans and credits, everything was dead-end roads. We're living in a camper. It was all Kathy's fault, right? No. She said she wanted to be out of the ministry for a year. And God gave her a year. And I did preach this message one other time, first message there in Oakwood Baptist Church in Camp Hill. It was a year exactly, brother, right after the Lord gave us a house. I said, I guess I need to preach Psalm 143. Now, I'm not preaching myself, brother, I hope you see that. But we all go through experiences. But all if you get anything this morning is that what sustained me was the Word of God. And, of course, all the prayers of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people praying. But you see, Psalm 42, let me get to that for it. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I roaring because of the oppression of the enemy? With a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And then here's the word. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, what Dr. Finnegan would say, you know, sometimes it's okay to talk to ourselves.
That's right.
When it's faith and the Word of God. Often we listen to ourselves. And the devil has already worked us over to believe a lie. God has forsaken you. And so the psalmist is worse fear, but I think he gets past that pretty quick. He searches himself, my conscience is clear, as far as I know, I'm walking in the light as he's in the light, and it's the enemy, providentially God has my father is teaching us, okay? The real need for the psalmist is found in verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth, hide not thy face. You see, how God revives his people is that, you know, Lord, if you hide your face, if you know, the shadows of providence, the clouds come in, and Lord, if I can't see your face, that's the worst thing that just on your heart. God is hiding his face. Why can't you? Don't hide thy face. Psalm 3, 1 through 3 says this. How they increase that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be say to my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O God, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. There be many that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift up thou the light of thy countenance upon us. And so there we see the need of revival. And that's what revival is all about. Refreshment from on high. When your soul is desolate, overwhelmed, failing, fainting, it could be the voices of the enemy, it just could be physical ailment, it could be disease. All these things just kind of, we get beat down. And the worst of it is that, Lord, if you hide your face. You say, well, if we stop there, we'd be pretty miserable. How God revives us, we must go on. Okay, and I think what we see here is how the Lord helped me also, how God revives us. Now this, again, I'm not just talking about a mystical experience, emotional feelings, okay? There is a place for diligent use of the means of grace. You know, like the old saying, when it's hard to pray, pray harder. When it's hard to read, read more. I mean, it may be still you're facing the wall, and you still have those doubts. But see, there's nothing left for me at that time. It was these verses came to me, and I'm just, Lord, what am I doing? And where am I at? What am I supposed to be here? All these questions. But I realize that, you know, I need to read my Bible. I need to try to pray. I need to seek the Lord. I need to go to church. I need all those things that I know that God uses. See, walking by faith. The key to walking by faith is that you must believe the Word of God over your circumstances, over providence, over what you're feeling, over what's happening. You must camp out at the Word of God and stay there and say, okay, Lord, and any older saint of God will say, well, that's how God does it. Yes, that's true. But we need to be reminded this morning, the Word of God. The starting point here, for me, of course, you know, the psalmist here, he's praying. Verse 1, verse 6, verse 7. Hear me speedily. He prays and prays again. But I want you to see verse 5 as we go on, how God revives us. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. We must, first of all, remember, and I believe there's a progression here. Remember, what has the Lord done for you? You know, not just with a house, you know. We talked about a house. You know, the Lord has given us some really doozies in the past. The house in New York was an abandoned farmhouse. It had no doors, windows out, no heating, no plumbing, nothing. You say, well, that's down your line, Tom. Fix this up, fix that up. But you see, the idea is it was not just a house that we were looking for. It was the presence of God. I saw through these verses. I remember him reviving me back there when I got out of the charismatic Pentecostal garbage. And I remember when I was committed, I thought I committed the unpardonable sin and I was reprobate. And I was the terrors of hell never would want you to be there. To think that you have committed the unpardonable sin. And then God brings me out. And the first thing God did, not only that, that little thing, that little experience was, you see, I didn't want to go to Georgia, Doc. I had a bookstore in Youngstown, Ohio. And Brian Sublition and some others, we were in a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and we were selling books and Bibles and doing evangelistic work and stuff like that. Didn't ever think I could ever preach or teach. That was not my bag. That was not my area. But you see, there was an issue with the Lord. The Lord said, Tom, I want you to go to Georgia. I don't want to go, Lord. You know what? By the time the Lord got done with me, I said, Lord, I'll go to Georgia. And the lights turned on. It was amazing. The Lord began to show me some truths about preparationism, Puritan, all this other stuff. And the second thing, he gave me Kathy. And I remember the first time I met Pastor David was right here, and he preached from Psalm 126. The Lord has done marvelous things. I was blown away. I wept for the whole week, and I've still been weeping. I lost that a little bit in Canada. But the Lord regained that, something I'll show you that he's taught me through this year. But you see, what has God done for you? What has your Heavenly Father done for you? It says, now notice what it says there. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Meditate. If God has done for me in the past, won't he help me now? A godly faith believing mindset, walking by faith. And this is not like, well, I'll just switch it on, you know, and it just happens. No, this is within spiritual warfare and anxiety, doubt, worry, all those things that we're not supposed to do. But see, there's a battle. I remember. And then it goes on, the word muse, what will God do now? Well, I remember, I meditate on those things. I get my mind in gear. I'm going to keep on thinking about what God has done. And the word muse has the idea of, what will God do? You know, see, I like the verse, you know, if anything the Lord would do this week is that in the gospel, I think the gospel of Mark talks about how God, they were amazed. Wouldn't it be marvelous if God just come by and we would just be amazed? I mean, just utterly amazed at his presence, is his beauty, is his glory. Totally wrapped up with him. Amazed. And this idea of muse is, what will God do? Expectation, hope, joy, praise. High anticipation. And so the first thing in reviving your soul is that you have to go back to square one, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Then we see the petitions here as we go on in reviving. Verse 8. Now, verse 8 is really the heart of these verses for me. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Notice in these verses, all the way down to verse 11, it all talks about me. Cause me. Again, cause me, in verse 8. Deliver me, teach me, quicken me. And this idea of cause me is not, is more than just a petition. Lord, let me hear thy loving kindness. It's like, I need you to work in my heart to enable me to hear your voice. Cause me. Lord, I can't do this anymore. You know, my job situation, it's just, you know, a man knows that he's supposed to provide for his family, he's supposed to have all these things from Canada and the ministry and you know, am I to preach or am I to teach? What am I going to do? Where I don't have a church? All these things. I said, cause me. You have to do it for me, Lord. You're the one that has to intervene. If you don't do it, Lord, it's not going to be done. That's the idea of the word. Cause me. Cause me to hear thy loving kindnesses in the morning. For in thee do I trust. You see, to hear the loving kindnesses in the morning, it's translated 149 times mercy. It's translated 12 times goodness, 30 times loving kindness. You see, to hear the word hear, open my ears. Show me thy kindness. You see, the Lord, our Heavenly Father is so kind. In the midst of all the doubt and all the failing and all the, you know, overwhelming and the all that the psalmist is saying, Lord, cause me to hear. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to know your grace more and more. I want thy loving kindness. I want thy loving kindness to flow to me in love. The psalmist says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Is it? What else do we put before that? Thy loving kindness is better than life. All I need, you know, Lord, not only I need to hear it, you have to do it for me. And that's the force of this word, cause. Now, secondly, in this verse 8, and this is how the Lord revives. Remember, we start remembering, we start meditating, we start musing. Really, brethren, it's not a surprise that the Lord gave us that house in Dalmatia. You say, well, after all the agony and all the, you know, all the camper and all, it was no surprise. It really wasn't. Because our Lord has done that so many times for us. It's just, where does he want us? And this is where the next one is. Verse 8, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You see, Lord, direct my steps. Show me the path. You see, there's one thing that from my heart and throughout the years of being a Christian, the safest place is to be in God's will. I have to be in God's will, no matter what it is. The safest place for my family is to be, for me, my wife, to be in God's will. And this verse, you know, what is God's will? God's deliverance, God's blessing, revealed will of God, all that. You see, he's saying, cause me. You see, I don't know where to go. I don't know which way to go. And so, am I on the right path? Am I in the way? Am I in his will? Coming to PA, is this God's will? Is this God's will? You see, there is different verses as I was reading. As I would go to work, do my warehousing, I would be reading Psalm 143, and there's other verses about the way. And so Isaiah 40:27 says this, and I was reading, I like reading Isaiah 40, 41, 42. I just start there, and I just start over, and I just start over, and I just like reading those verses. And Isaiah 40:27 says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Is my way hid from the Lord? Is your way this morning hid from the Lord? We might think it. We might say, well, God is not interested, or he doesn't notice. He's not concerned with me. My Father, you know, it's, you know, and so we believe the lie. But you see, that's what Isaiah is saying. My way is hid from the Lord. He doesn't see me. He doesn't care. He doesn't know about me. God does see. Our Heavenly Father, he does care. But see, there's always which way, Lord. Then Job, I was reading another section in during the summer. In Job 23, it says this. Verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What am I saying? You see, there's different times. Psalm 143 was where I camped at. And then as I was reading another verses, the Lord would say, well, Tom, I know your way. I know where you're at. I haven't forgotten about you, though I tarry long with you. And then Job says, you know, but he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And further down in Job 23, verse 16, it says, for God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. I looked at that verse. I said, that's what you're trying to do, Lord. You want my heart soft. You want my heart soft. I mean, I can't go a day without weeping for joy and thanksgiving. Just overwhelmed with his presence. And sometimes it's just, wow. But see, it was just like I needed my heart to be soft in a year in a camper. And since my manlyhood, I can't provide for my family. I can't get a house. You know, I can't do this. Lord, all I'm doing is working at a warehouse and I have nothing left, Lord. And he was just banging on my heart. It's not soft enough, Tom. But see, that's the method of revival. That's how he revives us. And so these verses caused me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. I said, Lord, cause me. I can't do this. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Lord, I need you to direct every step. What are you doing in our lives? What do you want me to do? Why am I here? He said, I'm just beating you up, Tom, a little bit. I want your heart to be soft. And in the end, I'll show you the way. I'll show you what I'm doing. You see, there was a turning point, and I said last year there was a revival, personal revival. Let me just tell you about it, and I'll try to hurry up and be done. You see, I'm walking in a warehouse, working for Manpower, 12-something an hour. See, down there in Harrisburg area, you have to work 3 months before you're considered full-time, before you can get benefits. And so we got there. You know, we have money in the bank. We have everything set up. You know, TD Bank, everything's ready. You know, blah, blah, blah. This is just going to, you know, we studied it a little bit. You know, we got our plans and purposes. We go over there and we can't get a mortgage. We can't get a loan. My credit is excellent. I could buy a house in Canada, no problem. And so it was here. So I started working. Try to get some of the savings, you know, quit hitting on the savings. And I'm working in a warehouse. And, of course, you know, what am I doing here? I'm working in a warehouse, okay? But this was a turning point. You see, in the warehouse, I would be praying for the brethren, I mean, praying for the workers and doing that, and trying to witness to them. And there was one day that we were having a contest, you know, the less mistakes, you know, we get pizza for everybody. And we're doing pretty good. And, you know, lost people, but they're good workers. You try to be friends, things of that sort. You know what I mean by that. And so one day we were just like, there's cursing and screaming and yelling at each other. And it was just like, oh, this is pandemonium. The devil's really working this over, you know, and I'm praying back in there, cleaning off boxes. I'm just praying for the people. Lord, intervene in this situation. Do we need some grace here? And so the manager says, okay, we're going to have a timeout. We're going to have an ice cream social. So he breaks out the ice cream bars. We're just standing around, just taking a break. And he says, we're doing good. You got and I believe everybody worked good, really good together. I mean, it was a neat team, okay? Hot-headed, all the other things that go along with that. But it was a good team, and so he's we're having a timeout. We're trying to encourage him. And he goes up to me and says, Tom, you're a preacher, right? You're a pastor. Would you pray for us? Amen. Could you imagine that in your work situation? I mean, the FBI, the black helicopters, everybody would come and get you. What are you doing this in the workplace? And of course, none of these guys are Christians. Now, there's a couple of guys that used to say they were Christians, and their dad and their grandfather's a preacher and all this, you know. And so here I am, brother. And I said, this is the turning point. This is the turning point. And so I prayed, asked God. I mean, sure, brother. I said, when I get done, can I preach a little bit? And he said, no, you better not do that. You know, I'm going to take it for what it's worth, you know. But that was a turning point. That's when God refreshed me. That's when I realized I was there on assignment.
Yes, that's right.
I was there on assignment. The Lord wanted me there at that warehouse, making $12 an hour. He didn't want me to have a loan. He didn't want me to have a mortgage. Because there was a place in Dalmatia where our neighbors in this little community needs to hear the gospel. And we're on assignment still. But see, in the midst of that, as like Kathy will say, when I came home, it was like I was a different person. Now, I'm there on purpose, for a purpose. I was on assignment. And with the verses, God was showing me that just wait, Tom. Just wait. He caused me to hear his loving kindness. He caused me to know the way that I was in was his will. Quickly, in these verses, 9 through 11, Psalm 143. Notice here, I think these, as you're revived, you get stronger. You know, you get focused. Your eyes are off yourself, off the circumstances, off your woe is me kind of mentality. And you, in a way, you get in gear. You get in gear. And I believe this is what the psalmist is saying here. He's seeing. He's understanding. And so in the verses, like, for example, verse 9, deliver me. Deliver me from sin, from unbelief, my enemies. He says, teach me. Verse 10. That's in a sense, go on, show me thy will, thy way, for thy glory. Verse 11, is there quicken me? And there's that word revival, refresh me. By thy word, through the life of the Holy Spirit in us, abundant life, walking in faith. You know, the Lord says we will have hinds feet and we will walk upon our high places. But sometimes we have to be in the valley. And realize that valley is the assignment for now. But the whole idea is that I needed to be refreshed. I needed to be revived. And God used the word of God and all your prayers to get me to the point there in that warehouse. Realize, hey, I'm there for a purpose. Don't lose sight of don't worry about the big picture. All you have to worry about is the little picture. You're there on assignment. You need to pray and you need to witness to this one guy and this other guy. And then the Lord will do. And so here the psalmist is like in high gear. He says, deliver me, teach me, quicken me. Finally, he says, cut off my enemies. And I like the last part, and I'll conclude here. He says, for I am thy servant. The Lord has invested in the psalmist. He has invested in you. And if you're his servant, then if he says, okay, Tom, I'm going to go over, I'm going to send you over the PA to help take care of your in-laws. And that's the only scriptural reason we're there. I mean, we left Canada. We left the church that we love. I mean, it was time that we would go over and do that. And through that, the Lord tried us, yes. Worked through our family. He brought us to a place. I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Let me close here. Just like Samson, he got that great victory, right? He said, Lord, you give me this great victory, and now I'm going to die from thirst. And the water came out, and it says his spirit came again, and he was revived. That's personal revival, brother. That's for all of us. And I hope that today, or being in Maranatha, or in your local church, you would go home refreshed. Yeah, we're always hoping for the big picture. The God, and then Friday night's still coming, Brother David. Friday night's always amazing. We've been in this place on Friday nights, you could drop a pin and hear it. So quiet. It seemed like the Lord was just going to, Brother Gordon Bayless, I get his name. When he spoke to the bird one time, a little bird came in and started chirping away. And Gordon said, you better be quiet, bird. You know what? It didn't peep again. I mean, we've been in this place and it seems like we're just waiting for the Spirit just to flood the place. That's why we come back every year. Try to. Because it's not in Maranatha. It's in God refreshes his people. It begins in individuals. It goes back to your churches. Now, I've gone back to churches and they've closed the door. They could say, yes, we believe in revival, but they didn't have a heart for revival, seeking the Lord, praying. It was just lip service. It was a romantic notion. No, if God revives you, refreshes you, and you go back to your family, you go back to your churches, light the fire. Light the fire. Because that's what... Oh, wait a minute. You are on assignment, right? Also. Quickly. Where are you this morning? Fearing God is against you? Spirit overwhelmed, heart desolate, spirit faileth, beat down to the ground, left for dead. Sometimes that's the way it is in the ministry and being a Christian. You just like, Samson was left for dead. I'm going to die, Lord. It says he served 40 more years in the ministry, right? There, 40 more years. Where are you this morning? Are you listening too much to your deceitful heart? Are you listening to the roar of Satan as a lion? Are you being drowned out by the world's noise? Where do you start? Verse 5. I remember the days of old. That means you have to turn everything off and you have to get alone and you have to start thinking about what God has done for you. Yeah, God has done for me. I remember this. I remember this. Then you start meditating. Oh, man, yeah, that was amazing. Then you start musing. You just kind of sit back a little bit and say, man, I wonder how God is going to do this. I wonder how my Heavenly Father is going to get me out of this mess. And you know what? He never fails. Though he tarries long. You have to start by verse 5 and then verse 8. Cause me, okay? Cause me. Because there's times when you realize that, you know, when the Apostle Paul says, ever bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ be manifested in this mortal body. You see, we have to die. Self-confidence, self-worth, in that sense, self-efficiency. You know, facing that I couldn't provide for my family just destroyed me. And just like, what a father or a man is supposed to do? But see, God had bigger plans. And he strengthened me in that. And wherever you are this morning, you see, he's going to make you like the Lord Jesus. And he begins by personal revival. There's the starting point. There was the turning point. There in the warehouse. And the Lord says, Tom, why don't you pray for these people? I mean, I was just like, I had to come home. I went home. We had a prayer meeting. I said, you wouldn't believe what happened today. You can't believe. I mean, if you weren't Christians, you wouldn't believe. I mean, you know, they wanted me to pray for them. And that was like, in a sense, the refreshment that came. And then, you know, it didn't get any easier, brother. But there was a sense of the Lord, you know, I'm here on purpose for a purpose. I'm here on assignment. And the Lord revived me, refreshed me. How God revives. The one thing and I'll be done. It was his word. He used his word. When all else fails, brethren, wherever you're at this morning, open up that Bible. Say, Lord, crack it open and say, Lord, give me a verse. If I have to hang my soul upon it, give me a verse this day. I need a word from you, Lord. And realize that the Lord Jesus is praying. The Heavenly Father is going to bless that verse and other people are praying for you. And then there is the refreshment from on high, from the presence of the Lord. There is prayer, overcoming one's unbelief. And then, dear ones, remember what Paul says. My grace is sufficient. Is it? Well, I can't do anything, Lord. I can't do anything. I can't take care of my family. I got to work in a warehouse. I don't think there's ever going to be a church. Oh, unbelief, I understand that. But these are questions and things upon my heart last year that you know, well, I thought you were just looking for a house. No, I was being mowed over. I was beaten. And Kathy was there. And we were growing together. And now we have new challenges in Camp Hill. Some interesting challenges, honestly. But you see, there's something I know. He's going to cause me to hear his loving kindness in the morning. Psalm 143 is never going to escape. So where are you this morning? Get in the Word. Walking by faith is believing His Word over whatever is happening in your life. Whatever you feel, whatever you think, whether it's disease, cancer, unemployment, whatever it may be. Get into the Word and believe His Word. Camp there. Stay there. Until He says, Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me with Thy Word. And He'll give you light. That's revival. That's personal revival. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus that makes this all possible. Lord, you said in John 7, if we thirst, there would be wells of living water. We thank you for the imagery there of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need refreshment from on high, from the presence of the Lord. We need you, Lord, to break out. It says, when the poor and needy seeketh water and there is none, and their tongue cleaveth for thirst. You said you would pour out the water. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Bless, continue to bless, be glorified. Honor the Lord Jesus. Honor thy word. Revive, refresh, strengthen your people. Oh, Lord, do this for your honor and glory. Thank you that you do love us. Your ways are mysterious. Your wonders are, so we need to hear. Cause us to hear. Cause us to know. And may it abound to your glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen.